Hey baddies. Oh my gosh, literally long time no see. I feel like the one what is it? Like, and when the world needed her most, she disappeared. And yes, I did disappear for a fat minute. So I believe my last episode was in March, and it was like the things that I've like realized about myself. And honestly, that episode, yes, and it was March 23rd. Like, honestly, that episode was so good. Like, it was really good. I really, really enjoyed it. And my life has honestly changed, not changed, but yeah, honestly, my life has changed such a significant amount, like, since then. And it's crazy. So I'm gonna do like a very, very light life update. So after I filmed that episode, I just continued working. And then actually I had a job interview for a summer job that I really, really wanted. And I think, no, I hadn't, I think I talked about it, but like I hadn't interviewed for it or anything. Update, I got the job, which I'll kind of go into later. Not really a topic for right now. What else happened? Just some life stuff. Oh my gosh, my parents got baptized. That was really cool. Let's see. Yeah, I'm trying to look through my pictures, see if anything crazy. Oh, I had another job interview, which we'll go into as well. My sister got her master's. That was really cool. I went on a work conference trip. That was absolutely awesome. Oh, I went to San Francisco for a little solo trip. That was super fun. I definitely enjoyed myself. It was a very relaxing 3-day trip. And I've just been working since. Okay, cool. So no like major life updates, but we're gonna get into it in just a minute. I need to turn on a fan, so I'm gonna be right back. Okay, I'm back. I know there's like no difference in that, like from when I leave and then come back. But I just like to announce it so you guys kind of know what I'm doing. Also, full disclosure, I'm like house slash dog sitting right now. So if you hear dogs barking, moving, breathing, whatever, that's the dogs. I don't have dogs, and honestly, I never will. Like, these are my Thea's dogs, and of course, I love them because they're her dogs, and like, I watch them all the time. But I just can't. Like, you have to take them out to poop and pee all the time. Like, they're clingy, so you can't leave the house. And then they bark at every little thing. It's not for me. It's not the life for me. Anyways, let's get into it. So today's topic, I've been like wrestling with it back and forth. And I've been like up about it and then down about it. And I think I should just do it. Because it's been on my heart, but like, I'm like, oh, I don't have the time, or no, I have other things to do. And I'm so quick to be like that. Like, I'm so quick to be a busy bee. But when it comes to, I don't know, when it comes to certain things, I push them aside as if I don't have time. But then, like, I'll spend an hour on TikTok. That's something I need to work on. But besides the point, so today's topic is blessed to be a blessing. Yeah, and this is something that I really live by, and I feel like I should just talk about it, because I think about it every single day. And oh my gosh, I feel myself already like going to cry. I don't know what I'm gonna. I'm not gonna cry. I'm not gonna cry. I'm gonna hold it in, because I swear I cry every single episode. I'm a little crybaby. But yeah, so today's topic is blessed to be a blessing, and it's really just gonna be about how, God just moves in my life, and yeah, and how I just feel like the type of person that I am, what that means to me. So yes, blessed to be a blessing. And like I said, this is something that I live by, and it's a reminder that I tell myself all the time. So yeah, and I've always wanted to kind of like share my testimony on this podcast. But I don't know why I've held back on it. But yeah, I mean, this podcast, oh my gosh, guys. Also, it's been like 5 years of this podcast, which is bananas. It's actually crazy and it's amazing. Like, I feel like I've just really grown with Confessions of a Talkaholic. And like, I remember when me and Lupe used to do it, it was just so awesome. Like, we would just talk for hours and it was amazing. And when I was in college, I feel like it was the only outlet that I had to like just talk about everything in my life and like just to talk it out, because you spend so much time, I mean, for me, like, I spend so much time alone that I forget what it's like. I just forget what it's like just to talk. And yeah, like, I'm alone a lot, so it's nice to just like say the things that are on my mind. And I'm just so glad that I have this podcast to do that. And I mean, to think that I've had it for 5 years is crazy. Like, 5 years worth of podcast material is honestly insane. And it's like, do I post every single day? No. Do I post every single month? No. Like, every couple months? Yes. But I'm busy. Like, I really am. And I feel like I always end up recording an episode when I most need it. And I feel like I really need it now. And to be completely honest, like, whenever I film an episode, it's totally impulsive. Like, it's never planned. Like, I kid you not, I'm either laying in my bed when I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to stop everything I'm doing and make an episode. Or, like, right now, I just stopped everything I was doing. Here I am, laying on the couch, going to make this episode. And I just, like, I don't think, I just talk. And maybe that's very clear. Maybe that makes a lot of sense when you guys are listening. Like, this girl is just talking away. But yeah, I kind of shut my mind off and just let my feelings just have it and talk. Yes. And you would think, like, this girl's unorganized. Like, no one's gonna listen to that. But then, like, people will tell me, like, how much they love it. And they'll just, like, send me their reactions about it. And it just, like, I don't know. It really makes me feel better knowing that people actually listen, and two, that like people actually enjoy it and like get something from it. And that's what kind of inspired this episode. So my girl Rosie, shout out to her. This is a while ago. We were talking about my last episode and she was just saying, like, I love how you just talk about God and just talk about him and how he works in your life. And you just talk about him. And yeah, and that's honestly what I wanted to talk about today. So those of you that know me, you know I like to go to church, like I like to go to Bible studies, and all that. And I don't know, like, I know in my heart, like, I have a strong faith with God, and I know that I have like a good relationship. But I think as like a Christian, and I think as people who follow God, like, day to day, it's kind of like hard to forget. I mean, hard to like, well, it's easy to forget that like your life is centered around God. And then like come Sunday, you're just like, yes, praise the Lord. Like, everything is awesome. Like, we're so quick to do that. But like during the week, like, I find myself really forgetting. And I always have to come back to the fact that I am blessed to be a blessing. And yeah, like, those of you that know me, you know that I go to church, you know that I'm very, very strong about my faith, and you know that, like, I'm not afraid to talk about God. But also, like, some of you that know me might not know that I am, like, as faithful as I am, because maybe I don't talk about it, like, in front of you. And it's not like I pick and choose who I talk to, like, my relationship with God with. It's just more like, it depends where I'm at in life. Like, I don't know, like, I definitely, like, believe in God, because, like, how could I not with all the things that have happened in my life? But, like I said, like, day to day, I just, like, I feel like I forget, and I know I shouldn't, and that's something I really need to work on. But, yeah, okay, that's, like, a really confusing intro, but, okay, let's for real start this. First of all, my testimony and how I came to God. So I grew up going to church. Like, my parents, we would go to church. I don't remember going when I was like super, super young, but then I remember like definitely when I was in elementary school, like that age, we would go to church, and that was pretty much it. Like, I don't really remember being, I think I went to like the teens, definitely like Bible studies on weekdays. I remember doing that in like maybe some of middle school, but like for sure high school. Yeah, so growing up, for sure, we would go to church. And then, like, we would stop, and then we'd go. So I would only go, like, if my parents went, obviously. But I wouldn't say, like, I had a super strong, like, obviously, like, I had God in my life. But I can't say that I was, like, a Bible warrior or anything. Like, I definitely remember praying. Oh, my gosh, I used to pray in English and Spanish because in my head I thought God was Mexican. So I'd be like, oh, let me pray in Spanish, too. So, like, in case he didn't, like, can't understand English. So that was kind of funny. And then I would, like, start praying, like, oh, thank you, God, for my family. And then I would be like, oh, what if someone feels left out? So I would, like, thank God for every single member of my family. And then I would also, like, pray over my dog, too, because I was like, oh, no, he needs to be protected, too. So that was kind of, like, my first introduction to, like, religion and Christianity and God. Oh, and I was baptized when I was younger, but I think I was baptized Catholic. So, yeah. And then in high school, I started going to, like, my church's young adults. Technically, like, I should have been at the teens, but my sister was going to the young adults, so, like, I would go with her. And I feel like that's where a lot of my faith, like, grew, because I met a lot of people at that Bible study that I feel like I really, like, taught me a lot and, like, you know, definitely helped me build my faith. And at that time, I was going through, like, a lot of, like, really challenging things in my life in early high school. And, yeah, I feel like definitely I learned a lot, like, a lot. And a lot of my beliefs and kind of, like, understandings of, you know, faith and Christianity came from that time in my life. Yeah. Oops. Oh, my gosh. My whole setup, I almost just fell. Okay, sorry, let me adjust myself real quick. So yeah, I would go to Bible study and stuff when I was in high school, and I would obviously tell, like, my friends at school, like, I was not ashamed of my faith, my religion at all. And I remember one time, like, someone had asked me, they were, like, so serious too, they're like, Dana, are you gonna be a nun? And I was like, what do you mean? They're like, oh, like, you're just so religious, like, aren't you gonna be a nun? And I was like, no, like, no. So that was interesting. So, I mean, that just goes to show how strong I was going. And yeah, you know, okay, I'm going to share and then I'm going to go into, like, what really strengthened my faith. So then anyways, then I start college and I'm like, okay, college, here we go. I, found a church that I liked and I was going there, but then, I don't know, something always felt kind of off at that church. Like, I made great friends, like, friends that I have to this day. Like, it was definitely an experience, and I don't know if I can say that I'm glad I had that experience, but, like, I'm grateful for that experience in my life, because, yeah, like I said, I met some, like, my best friends at that church. And I think, like, honestly, I kind of blacked out that memory of my life, so I can't even remember if the messages were, like, even that good, but something always just felt off. Like, I was definitely one of the very few to, like, meet, like, very, very few, like, Mexican, Latina people there, and it was just evident. Like, I don't know, I just felt like I was not, like, exotic, but, like, I don't know, I just felt very singled out sometimes, and I feel like no one could really, like, fully understand me, because they just didn't understand, like, my background, where I came from. Like, they were just so surprised about, like, things that I have accomplished. And honestly, like, I really think it's because of, like, my ethnicity. Like, I would be like, oh yeah, like, I had a 4.2 GPA, and they're like, what, like, you had a 4.0? There's no way, how did you do that? But then, like, someone of a different race would be like, oh, I'm valedictorian. They're like, oh, cool. Like, but I'm like, oh, but you weren't shocked? Like, I don't know. It just felt very fishy. And that church, like, made a big emphasis on, after you, like, graduate, you become, like, a mentor, and you, like, stay in the city where that church is. And then, like, you get, honestly, like, you get married to another guy in that church. And then, like, you either stay in that city, or they low-key, like, just church plant you to another city, state, or anything, and, like, that's just your life. And I just, I don't know. I didn't see that for myself. And yeah, because I just, and there was like a no dating rule, which I mean, to some extent I could get like, yeah, like you're in school, you should focus on school. Like, you know, maybe dating can wait. But it was, I don't know, it was weird because there was like a no dating ban. But then I remember like there was this like girl who was like a freshman and she wanted to date this guy who was a senior, who I think he was like a super senior, actually like a fifth year. And I think he was like approaching 23 or 24 and she was 18, which I feel like that's a funky age gap because like me as a 22 year old, I have no business with an 18 year old. Like I finished college, I have my degree, I have a career, and like you're fresh out the womb, like you just got here. So I don't know, but anyways, like she wanted to date him and like they were gonna basically like approve of like their relationship. I don't know. So I thought that was kind of funky. But then like people that would like at that church like couldn't do certain things because like they had a boyfriend or a girlfriend, which I kind of thought was like funky. But anyway, so like you weren't allowed to date during undergraduate. But then all of a sudden, post-grad, all of the girls and the guys would get married to each other. But then I was like, well, if you're not allowed to date, when does the dating happen? Like, do you just get married? And honestly, no one there was married to anyone outside of the church. Like, and if they were married to someone not at like where we were in that city, like they were married to someone else from the same church, but just in a different city, which I don't know. I just thought that was so funky sauce. And I don't know. I couldn't stay. And I was like looking at the guys and I'm like, I don't like these options. Like, I'm just going to leave. And there was like a lot of other things. And I just felt like there were some very like racist things said towards me. And a lot of things that just made me not want to be there. And also too, like I had a bad like situation with some people in that church. And like they had said some very rude things to me and about me behind my back. And I couldn't stay. And I feel like that definitely took a toll on my faith. Because I was like, well, if these are like the Christian people in my life and like the Christian people I'm supposed to be friends with, why are they the most judgmental and hurtful people in my life? Like, I know people that are far from religion that would accept anything that I had to say, or they would just accept me like no questions asked, and they would just embrace me no questions asked. Like a lot of my friends, like I said, that are far from religion would 1,000% hear me out and let me talk about my faith. You know what I mean? And they would 1,000% listen to me talk about my problems and my faults and like no judgment and be there for me and like support me and even use like, you know, even use like religion to like help me. And like, for example, like I could tell them like something I'm going through and they're like, well, I think God wants you to. I think God would think, like, you know, even though that's not something that they might not have like strong like sense and familiarity towards, like they would be there for me and comfort me. But then like I knew these like Christian people that were so mean and just like hateful and just like terrible to me, and like terrible to people around them and people that they called friends. And I just thought, like, why would I want to be here if these are supposed to be like my people? Like, I didn't feel like they were my people at all. So that, like, definitely hindered my, like, relationship with God. And I didn't go to church for, like, I want to say, like, 2 years, like, a year and a half. And then with my work schedule, it just got kind of hard. And then I just got really busy. And I just didn't have the time. I could have made the time, but I use that as an excuse. And I was just really, really far. I feel like I was really far from God at that time. And it was a really hard time in my life. Like, it was really, really hard. Like, I remember just going through, like, so much mentally and physically. And it was just hard. Like, I don't know how I survived that time without leaning on God. Because, it was just a dark time for me. And, like, I completely understand why at that time, like, I stepped away from religion, because honestly, I could not find a good church out there, because out there being Davis, where I went to college, because all the churches out there were like the same format, and I just didn't like that. Like, they were all the same type of church, like the first one that I had went to, and I couldn't. And the other like Christian churches were like far away and needed a car, and I didn't have a car, and the buses didn't go there, and I don't know, it was just bad. And then like I would have friends that like went to other churches, and I would ask them like, oh, can I go with you? And like they would straight up tell me no. And they're like, no, like I just need to go alone. Which I mean, like, I guess I could understand, but I don't know, like if someone's asking you like, can I go to church with you, like I would think like, oh yeah, like if it's okay if we could just separate though, that's okay. But I don't know, it was really bad. Like I was physically separating myself, like I felt physically separated and just like emotionally separated from God. And yeah, like I honestly, I don't know how I got through that time, or I just remember being really depressed, like really, really depressed, just because of school and work and everything going on in my life. And I feel like because I wasn't strong in my faith and like leaning on God, I feel like that made it a lot worse, because I didn't have like any type of support, you know, like my family wasn't there. And like I had really good friends out there, but it's just, it's different. Like it's really, really different than like, you know, being home. And it was just a really, really hard and like dark time. But I remember I had this one, it was such a really, 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 really bad breakdown. Like, oh my gosh, like I was already feeling really bad that day. And mind you, like I said, I was constantly alone. Like, I swear, like my whole college experience, I was alone. Like obviously, like I had great friends, but everyone's so busy. Like when you're in college, everyone is busy. Everyone has something to do, a class, work, studying, someone's birthday, an outing, an event, like always. And obviously, like I had things to do too, but I spent so much of my time alone, and it was just hard. Like, I don't know, it felt like really just seeing my life pass me by. And I don't know, like I think back to that version of myself, and I don't know, like I feel like I just really want to give that Dana a hug, because it was so hard, guys. Like, I feel like college really broke me down. And I remember when I like had it, like I had the breakdown of all breakdowns. So I was really feeling really bad that day. And I was like, you know what, let's like try to turn this day around. Let's just try to turn this day around. So I like got ready, I did my makeup, and I was like, okay, like let me go out to eat, like I'll go get something that I like. And I think the place that I wanted to go to was closed, and I was like, okay, great. And I was like, okay, let me just get like a boba then, and I'll just get that. And then I got my boba, and then I'm like, and mind you, I had to like walk from my apartment to like where I was going, and I think it was like a 2-mile walk, but like with hills, so it was a crazy walk. And then it just started raining, and that just like was the cherry on top. And then I get back, and then I just remember like sobbing, like just even when I was walking home, I was just like sobbing. And I remember like thinking to myself, like I could die right now and no one would care. Like, that's literally how alone I felt. Like, I just felt so alone that I was like, you know what? Like, I could die right now and no one would care. No one would blink. Like I basically have no value. Like, I don't matter. Like, it was so bad. Oh my gosh, I'm just thinking about it. And I've never, like, thought about that time too much after it happened. Because I just, like, I'm the type of person that, like, it happens and I just want to move on. Like, I'm just a move on type of person. Like, I just need a, like, you know, just keep swimming. But that day was really, really hard. And I remember I got back to my apartment and I was like sobbing. Like, I was a mess. Like, I was just like, I could die right now. Like, I don't even care. And I was like, no, I need someone to talk to, like, or else, I don't know, like, I don't know what's gonna happen. I just need someone to talk to. And I have an amazing friend, Ellie, from that, like I said, like that church was crazy, but I met some of my lifelong friends. And I had a friend, Ellie, who lived like right across the street. And I just like called her and I was like, hey, like, I'm so sorry. Like, you're probably busy, you're probably studying, but I just like, I really need someone to talk to you right now. And she came, and I just remember like telling her like everything that I was thinking. And Oh my gosh, wait, I need a moment to collect myself. Okay, I'm back, sorry. And I told her everything, like, that was happening in my life, how I was feeling. And I was like, this is it. Like, I was like, I know, like, I'm not alone, but I just really feel like it. And I was telling her that I just felt really far from God. And I just couldn't find my way back. And she, like, prayed for me. And honestly, like, it just felt like a huge wave of, like, relief over me. And I told her, I was like, I don't know why. Like, I just feel so alone. And I was like, and I feel like God doesn't hear me right now. Because, like, why am I so miserable, basically? And I'll never forget it. But she was telling me, she was like, I don't know, like, where it was from. But she was, like, telling me a story. She's like, well, like, there's, like, a story of, like, the two footprints on the sand. That, like a man was walking with God, and there's two sets of footprints. And then there's, like, one set of footprints. And the man was like, well, what about when there was, like, one set of footprints and I was walking alone? And then God said, that's because I was carrying you. And honestly, like, I feel like just that line alone, like, because I was carrying you, like, totally, like, delivered me. Because there was no way that I could have done all the things I did, like, being that just, like, lonely and depressed and, like, anxious and just, like, in the worst state of mind possible. Like, there's just no way that I could have did that, but, like, God really carried me. And I feel like that just, like, it took away everything that I was going through. And I think about that, like, all the time. And, like, I'm always going to be grateful to, like, Ellie for really just being there for me. And being, like, you know, like, the voice from God, like, telling me that, like, you know, he's carrying me and that I'm going to be okay. So, yeah. So, that was, like, kind of, like, my college experience with religion. And then, post-grad, I moved back home, and there was a church I've, like, been wanting to check out, because it's, like, literally a two-minute drive from my house, and one of my friends, who I used to go to that first Bible study when I was in high school with, went there. So I hit her up, and I started going, and I really liked it, and everyone there was, like, really cool, like, completely, completely different vibe from the church that I was going to in college. And that just, like, as long as it wasn't like that, I think I was going to be okay. I started going to that one, and I just loved it, and I've been there ever since. And now I can say, like, my faith is completely changed, like, a total 180. And honestly, like, I couldn't be more grateful for the change in my life, because now, like, I never want to feel like how I did when I felt like I was in the dark, and I've never felt that way since, and I feel like I've definitely overcome that feeling in that part of my life. So that has been, like, my experience with religion, and currently, I feel, like, really strong in my faith. Like, I really trust and believe that, like, God's going to get me where I need to be. And I just need to keep my strong faith, and, you know, I need to be better at, like, reading my Bible. I need to be better at reading my Bible. This is my sign of accountability, because I only really read it when it's, like, comes to Bible studies and Sunday service, but I need to read it outside of that, and I always come back to, like, certain verses, and I know I need to find more verses that, like, to really strengthen, like, my faith. But I always come back to these, some of these verses, which I'll go over. I feel like I'm in a totally different place, and I've really just given everything to God. So let's go into, like, my testimony of, like, why I believe. Because, you know, a lot of you that listen, I don't know if you are Christian, Catholic, believe in God, don't believe in God, are in some place with, like, religion, no religion at all. And this isn't me trying to, like, convert you or anything. Like, I am just talking about my own experiences. It's just my podcast. It's something I want to talk about. And like I've said a million times, like, this podcast is honestly just a journal of how I feel and, you know, where I'm at in life. And I have yet to really talk about this when this is such a huge part of my life. And like I said, I've been feeling in my heart that I just should talk about this and I need to talk about it. So that's what I'm doing. So if this isn't something that you want to hear, I mean, feel free to end whenever you want. Be curious. But yeah, so this is kind of why I believe. So first things first, like, crazy. Really, really, like, this is honestly, like, the root of my faith. And, like, I always come back to this. And, yeah, like, I just, there's no other possible way to explain this. And it really is because of my health. So, for those of you that do not know, I have PCOS, which is polycystic ovarian syndrome. And a lot of women actually have this. And it's just, essentially, it's a huge hormonal balance, like, imbalance within the female body, and it just stops you from functioning, quote unquote, like, you know, normally. Textbook definition of normal, right? Of the female body. So I was diagnosed at 14, and honestly, like, it was the diagnosis, like, part of it all, like, or area, section, whatever, was the worst that I've ever experienced. It has to be one of the worst experiences of my life. You have to do blood tests. You have to do ultrasounds. You have to do physical exams. You have to do all these things. And it's hard. Like, to be 14, dealing with all that is crazy. Like, every month, every 2 months, appointment here, appointment there, specialist this, this person, that person. And, like, okay, this is something that, like, just really needs to be studied, but there is, like, no, absolutely, like, no type of, well, I'm not sure about now because I've, like, avoided Western doctors and medicine when it comes to this, but there really is no, like, good support for women with PCOS, like, from gynecologists. And, okay, quick bit about gynecologists. I used to be kind of against male gynecologists because I'm like, why are you a man up in a girl's business? But my male gynecologist is, like, the best gynecologist that I've ever had. Like, honestly, he's way better than any other female gynecologist that I've ever had. And I hate to say that because, like, I want the girls to win, but no, like, my male gynecologist, 10 out of 10 compared to any female gynecologist I've ever had. So I had to do a bunch of tests, and the blood tests were, like, normal, whatever. The ultrasound was, like, okay, this is kind of, like, weird. Like, I'm 14, they're doing an ultrasound, like, I feel like I'm pregnant, but I'm not. And then I had to do a physical exam, and that, I feel like, really just traumatized me, because I've, like, a physical exam, so they have to physically exam my, like, private areas, basically, like, all over my body. And I've, like, never been touched ever, so to be touched for the first time was, like, really weird. And I know it was, like, completely medical, but I just, like, my body at 14 just couldn't handle it. And honestly, like, my body at 22, I don't even know if I can handle it now. And I think that really turned me off from, like, I think that's why I'm not a physical touch person. I don't like people touching me because it always just takes me back to when I had to be touched for my exam. And I hated how it felt. I don't like other hands on my body. So that, like, really traumatized me. And I feel like I need to work through that. But yeah, maybe that's why I don't like being touched. Anyways, and that was just really hard on me. Like, I remember my mom tried asking me, like, oh, are you okay? Like, what happened? But I just, like, I couldn't describe the feeling. Like, I just felt, I know I wasn't being violated because, like, they medically had to check, like, they medically had to check, like, do a physical check and see if there was anything, like, that was going to be threatening to me. But I just felt like, I don't know, like, I knew that I had to do it for, like, my health, but I feel like it just set me way back. Like, it just set me back. And I feel like they should have maybe, like, offered something else. Like, I don't know. Like, I was 14. I didn't want to be touched. And it was really hard. It was really, really hard. And, yeah, I don't know. It's still, like, has a hold on me to this day. Also, this is like what I sound like when I'm crying, so that explains that, by the way. Anyways, it was a really hard time in my life, and I remember they told me, they were like, well, I remember they said, they were like, well, if you lose 10 pounds, basically all of your problems will go away. Like, they didn't tell me, oh, you should do this, you should take this medicine, you should take that. Like, they just said, oh, you know what, lose 10 pounds and, like, basically you're going to be okay. Like, everything will be solved if you lose 10 pounds. And then they put me on birth control. At 14, they put me on birth control. And at 14, they put me on birth control. Like, that's crazy. And if anyone that's ever been on birth control, you know, like, it wrecks you. Like, it completely wrecks you. Like, it makes you gain weight. It makes you super emotional. Like, it just, because it's just, like, pumping estrogen in you. And, yeah, like, it just, it controls you. Like, I don't know what it is. It was just terrible. And it was impossible for me to lose 10 pounds. And I don't know, I just beat myself up about it for years. Like, look, I should lose 10 pounds. I just need to lose 10 pounds. But, like, they didn't tell me, like, oh, this is what you could do. These are exercises we recommend. Like, they just made me feel like, oh, well, because you're fat, like, that's why you have all these problems. And if you were skinny, like, everything about you would be fine. And I don't know, like, it just hurts so bad. Like, it just hurts so bad. And I was never able to, like, lose those 10 pounds because I put so much pressure on myself, too. And, like, I feel like I just developed a really unhealthy, like, relationship with weight after that, because I always, like, blamed, like, oh, well, this happened to me because I'm fat. Like, and I don't know, I just feel like they shouldn't have told me that. Like, you as a doctor, like, why would you tell someone, like, oh, if you lose 10 pounds, all of your problems will go away? Like, you should just be like, okay, well, this is what's happening. If you were to change this diet, if you were to do this exercise, like, this would help you. Not like, oh, well, because you're fat. Like, this is right. What's wrong with you? Like, I don't know. So it was really, really hard. And I went through all that at, like, 14 years old. Like, literally freshman in high school. Like, what the heck? I mean, it's already such a hard time in life. Because it's, like, your first year of high school. Like, you don't know what you're doing. Yeah, lol, anyways, and that was, like, my main focus, throughout high school. Like, I was like, well, basically when you have PCOS, you have a super irregular period, and most of the time that means you're not really getting your period. And, I was on birth control for, like, 2 years. And I feel like my period was still irregular. Like, it was still irregular. And I was like, what the heck? Like, I'm doing this. So, like, I'm on birth control so I could get, like, my period. But I'm still not getting my period. Like, birth control is making me lose my mind. And you're making me stay on it. But, like, it's not doing anything. And then I switched gynecologists. And I told my gynecologist, like, I don't want to be on this anymore. Like, this was the male one. I told him, I was like, I can't, like, I hate it. Like, I don't know, like, I want to just try if I could get my period without it. And he was the first gynecologist that was like, yeah, do what you want. Like, it's your body. If you feel like you're not responding well to it, go ahead. Like, we'll take you off. Don't worry, I got you. Like, if you need anything else, let me know. If you want to get back on, let me know. Like, I got you. And I just felt like, oh, okay, I'm going to get off of this. And that was, like, what I constantly prayed for. I was like, God, like, I want to be able to regulate my PCOS, and I want to be able to do this without birth control. And I was like, I'm going to do everything it takes. So I got, like, super into exercising. I changed my diet. I was, like, eating the right foods, everything except for basically giving my situation to God. I was doing everything but giving my situation to God. I was, like, fasting. I was in my word. And then I was, like, God, like, I'm doing all these things. Like, why haven't I got my period yet? Like, it's still irregular. But, like, I was taking it into my own hands. I was doing my way, not just, like, giving it to him. And I remember, like, someone had just told me, like, you just have to get on your knees and give it to God. Like, sorry, I didn't blow my nose. Give me 1 second. Okay, I'm back. And people often say, like, let go and let God. And I was like, you know what? This is just one of those situations where I got to let go and let God. So that's what I did. I was like, you know what, God? I'm done trying. I'm done with my little remedies. Am I this? Am I that? Like, it is up to you. Like, you are going to heal me. You're going to help me regulate this period. Like, you are going to do it. And sure enough, my next cycle, I got my period. And I've been getting my period ever since. Like, ever since I just gave it to God. And now I can say the same thing. So, like, obviously, yes, like, I did change my diet. Now I've, like, changed my diet, so I avoid certain foods. Like, I do take vitamins. I do certain exercises. Like, and that just helps me with, like, general health and, like, you know, like, yeah, just, like, my general health and making sure that I'm, like, still on track. But honestly, like, every time I get my period, I'm like, ugh, I got my period. But I'm also like, you know what? Thank you, God. Like, this is true testimony that, like, he healed me. Like, did I have to lose those 10 pounds? Like, no. Did I have to, like, do any crazy things? No. Like, I just literally one day was just like, God, I can't do this anymore. Take it. I'm done. And boom. It was handled. Like, what I'd been wanting for years. Like, honestly, 3 to 4 years at that point. Like, I gave it up one day and it was delivered to me. And so I feel like that definitely fueled a lot of, like, where my faith came from. So I was like, okay, all right, God, like, you got this, you got this. And I feel like that led me to now in my life where I really do use that as, like, my testimony of, like, where I'm at and, like, how he's blessed me. Because honestly, I can't explain that otherwise. Like, I really can't explain that. Like, before that, everything I tried, nothing worked. Like, nothing worked. I can't tell you anything that ever did. So, yeah. And definitely my next like testimony that is why I believe so much is, like, I was talking about, like, how God really got me through college, because that was a really hard time in my life. So yeah, and I feel like he blesses me in, like, more ways that I could even imagine. Like, I honestly say that, like, everything I've prayed for, like, I've got. Like, so I said I had a job interview back in April. So I really wanted this position for the summer. It's like a summer camp instructor at a science center. And I really wanted this position. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is a great experience. It looks super fun. Like, I need a summer job. But, like, at that time, they weren't hiring for any, like, of the position that I wanted. The position that I wanted was, like, kind of closed off at that point. And I was like, okay, like, I understand, like, but they're like, oh, we're gonna see, right? And I'd been waiting, like, maybe like a month or two later, and I was like praying, like, God, please, like, I want this position, it's gonna be a great experience, like, please, and I got the job, like, and it was just like, wow, like, thank you, God, like, you're amazing. And right now I feel like I'm going through another thing that's going to be another testimony. I'm going through it right now. I feel like I'm in the midst of it. And it's really hard for me to talk about and be vulnerable about this right now, because it's really hard to, at least for me, to admit my failures, because I'm such a high-achieving person. And yes, I failed many of times before. Like, I'm no stranger to failure. But also, like, it's really hard for me. Like, it's really hard for me to go through it, to experience it. But yeah, so as you guys know, right now I'm in the process of getting my teaching credentials. And I have to take these exams. And it's a general science exam and a life science exam. Mind you, I have been torturing myself over these exams since March. Like, completely torturing myself over these exams. It has been the worst studying experience of my life. And you would think, like, Dana, you're so good at science. What the heck? And yes, I am really good at science. But these, okay, one, I have terrible test anxiety. My mind completely blanks out when it comes to any kind of test. Like, if you were to ask me the question to my face, I can answer you. But, like, on a paper, on a screen, I just can't do it. I don't know what it is. It's, like, this worst trait that I have. And these tests are really hard. Like, anyone who's taken them knows that these tests are, like, total BS. They're just awful. They're awful. One of my professors told me she failed 8 times before she passed. And I spent hours. I mean, like, I can't even, maybe like 3 to 4 hours a day for like 2 months, 2 to 3 months, studying for these exams. I take the first exam, fail. And I'm like, okay, all right. I can pick myself up. I saw that one coming. I'm gonna get it. And then I was taking the retake for one, and the first time I was taking that exam for that one, right? Like, all right, okay, retake the first exam. I got this. I was studying again for another month, like 3 to 4 hours a day. I'm like, all right, let's do this. And I got my results, and I failed. So I'm taking them again in a month. So I'm back to my study grind, and it's terrible because, like, the time that I had for me to, like, go to the gym, read my Bible, like, the time that I had is gone now because now I have to study. Because here's my schedule. I work 8 to 4, and I have class 5:30 to 8:30. I get off of work at 4, but I get home by basically 5 because I work in L.A., and the L.A. traffic is crazy. So by the time I get home, I have, like, I get home around like 5 p.m. to 5:10, and I have 20 minutes to like use the restroom, get a drink of water, try to eat something, change out of my work clothes, and like be present for this class. I have class from 5:30 to 8:30, and then after 8:30, I'm like done. After that, I still have to do my homework. I still have my remote job that I have to do. And now I have to somehow find time for studying, which it's like, it's just really hard. Like, it's really, really hard. Like, I don't know how I'm going to do it. Like, I really don't know. So it's something I'm really struggling with, and I really hope God sees me through all that. Like, I really, really hope God, like, carries me through this because I'm stressed. Like, I'm trying to be cool about it, but I'm not. Like, I'm totally nerd about it right now. Like, I'm freaking out. I'm freaking out really, really bad. Which brings me to why I'm freaking out. Because you're just like, Dana, it's a test. You're fine. Okay. So, in May, I interviewed for a high school teaching position for biology at a really amazing school. And, like, my heart is, like, set on this school. And the principal, sorry, there's like, I need to blow my nose again. Wait. The principal really wants me. She sees a lot of potential in me. And she was like, well, because I still don't officially have my credential yet, because I'm going to get it at the end of the summer. She was like, okay, well, like, as long as you pass your CSETs, like, my team basically said, like, we could hire you. So I'm like, yes, like, I just need to pass these tests. Then I'm hired. And I thought, like, yeah, I'm good. And then, I failed. So I was like, well, there goes that job. And after that, like, I lost it. Like, I was sobbing so hard because I was like, well, there it goes. Like, now I'm like, I basically, and mind you, I need to finish my, like, everything by August. Like, if I don't get a job, if I don't get my exam results by August, like, I'm basically cooked. And it just, like, it hurt bad. Like, it hurt bad. And, like, baddies, we know I've only been rejected once in my life, and that was from UCI, and that also tore me apart. But besides that, I've never been rejected because, remember, baddies, I've never had a boyfriend. I've never been in a talking stage, so I've never had to face rejection before. Well, because, like, I'm ugly, so no one would really come after me. So, yeah, like, no one, like, I just,
I don't take rejection easy because I never get rejected because I'm never in a position to be rejected. But anyways, and then my amazing friend Ashley always speaks life into me. And she said, rejection is redirection. And I was like, God, you're right. You know, you're putting me back on path. And the principal reached out to me and she's like, hey, Dana, like, still interested in hiring you. I'm going to try to see what I can do. So I'm like being very, very hopeful, like super, super hopeful that things work out. And I'm really, really, really trying my best, but it's hard. It's really hard to push through, and I'm trying my best. I'm really trying, and I'm going to have faith. I'm really going to have faith, and I know this is going to be a testimony, and God's going to carry me, and I'm going to be an amazing teacher, because I feel like I really have it in my heart to be a teacher, because, like, not only do I love science, and I really want to get kids excited about science, but I feel like going back to the blessed to be a blessing, like, I've been blessed with so much, like, just knowledge about life and academics and education that I feel like I can really bless others with that information that I have, because, like, I really had to do everything myself. Like, I love my parents. They've helped me with so much in my life, but just something that they could never help me with was, you know, academics. But everything else they've really helped me a lot with, and I am grateful that I had that experience to really be first gen and pick it up for myself. Because I had to, you know, teach myself, okay, this is how you apply to college. This is how you choose which loan. This is how you navigate this whole thing. Like, this is how you make something out of nothing. Like, this is how you set yourself apart. And I feel like because I have that knowledge and I have that strength, like, I really, really want to share that with other students and help them. And, like, I really want them to see, like, how far education can take them. And if I can, like, you know, education in science, and I really want to show them, like, this is where science has brought me in life, and this is where where you could go. And I really feel it in my heart to do that, and I really want to. So I'm just going to keep pushing, keep studying. Like, it's going to hurt. It's going to be hard, but I have to do it. Oh. Oh, my gosh, I have ice stuck in my throat. Wow. But no one else is going to do it for me. So I really have to do it for myself. And like I said, like, it's hard, but I'm gonna push through and I'm gonna do it. So yeah, that's where I'm at right now. But now I really want to talk about the blessed to be a blessing just one more time. To me, like, it's just like, I feel like God has blessed me with so many amazing things in my life. Like, I have amazing friends, I have an amazing job. Like, oh my gosh, my family above everything else. I have an amazing church. Like, oh my God, guys, I literally have my dream truck. I have my dream truck that I get to drive, that I'm so blessed to get in my truck and drive. It's a feeling like no other. Like, just to be able to get in your car after work is amazing. I can't even describe it. And I feel like God has just blessed me in so many ways that I can continue to bless others. And I feel like for me, what that means is to, like, just show people my love and to show people my kindness. Because above all, like, that's what I have to give. And I have so much of it. And I don't want to keep this love and this, you know, kindness and slayness that God gave me. And I can't keep it to myself. Like, it's really to share. So I'm so nice to everybody. And, like, yeah, that does come back to bite me sometimes, because, like, I'm too nice. I'm too forgiving sometimes. But it's like, I'd rather be like that. Like, if God gave me the heart to love people, why wouldn't I? Like, if God gave me, like, the sympathy for others, why wouldn't I use it? Like, if he didn't give me the ability to really empathize and, like, feel for people and want what's right, like, why wouldn't I use that? So yeah, I just feel like he continues to bless me and he continues to show me his love and, like, his faithfulness, and I just feel like I have to show it to others. And a lot of people, like, always, like, oh, like, how are you so nice, like, how are you so giving? And I always say, like, well, I'm blessed to be a blessing. And I just have to continue to remind myself that. So, to wrap up, I'm just going to share Sorry, let me set my alarms for tomorrow before I forget. I'm just going to share some of my favorite verses that I feel like have really carried me through a lot of these times in my life and that I just feel like might be helpful for someone out there. So first, this is like my favorite verse. I feel like this verse, like in huge times of struggle, like I come back to, and I really just feel like it lifts me up. So it's Philippians 4:4-7. And it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ." And I always come back to this when I'm having a hard time. Like, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And I have to remind myself, like, even with the good and with especially the bad, like, you have to really lean into God. So, yeah, and, like, let your gentleness be evident to all. Like, there's so many times that I want to just, like, let people have it. But I'm like, you know what? Like, I'm gentle. I'm kind. And I'm going to let people see that. Like, I'm not going to let people see, like, the bad part of me. Because, like, there is no bad part of me. Like, it's all gentleness. It's like, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Like, that's just so strong to me. Like, just by prayer and, like, you know, our gratefulness and thanksgiving to God, like, just give it all to him. And like I've said in my life, like the times that I've just given it all, like that I've had to God, it just changed everything. And I have to like remind myself, like I'm stressing for no reason because God's got this. Like I'm stressing for no reason. So yeah. And lastly, when it says the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds. And it's true, like, I am at peace. You know when people are like, oh my gosh, I protected my peace too hard, that blah, blah, blah. Like, that is actually me. Like, oh my gosh, guys. Like, I have little to no drama in my life. And it's honestly because, like, I have peace with God. Like, there's nothing, I mean, besides, like, what I just described, there's nothing really, like, heavy on my mind. It's really, or on my heart. Besides of like, you know, my career stressors, there's no like man stressing me out. There's no friends stressing me out. So yeah. Next one is Ecclesiastes. I think that's how you say it. Don't judge me. 3:11. It says, "He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end." And it's really that first part of he has made everything beautiful in its time, because baddies, I am an impatient person. I am so impatient. Like, I'm so desperada. Like, I'm impatient to the bone. I don't know what it is. Like, and God knows I'm impatient. That's why he, like, always shows me the faster route to do things. Because he knows I'm impatient. But I really, really, really always have to remind myself that he makes everything beautiful in its time. So I need to give things time because everything will be beautiful in its time. So reminder to you baddies, like, even if you believe in God or not or anything, like, good things come with time. Like, nothing good came out of rushing. Like, everything good takes time. Everything becomes beautiful in its time. And I just have to, like, you know, work hard and continue to persevere and not necessarily wait until, like, things get beautiful, but give it time to be beautiful. So I always, always come back to that one. There's one more that I think it's in my screenshots. Give me 1 second to find it. Let's see. It's somewhere in here. Yes. Okay. This is more so like about myself and like why I hold myself to a high standard. So I always say like, oh, my body's a temple, but like it really is. So like you guys know I've never had a boyfriend, never been kissed, nothing. And partially it's because, like, I'm freaking fugly and no one wants me. But a big part of that is because, like, my body's a temple and not anyone, not just anyone, has permission or will ever be around my temple. Because I have high standards. Like, I really do have high standards. And, like, why wouldn't I? Like, I'm a child of God. I'm super, like, intelligent. I'm super skilled. I'm just an educated baddie with a career. Like, I have goals in life. Like, I'm a hard worker. Why would I want someone that's not at that same level? Like, I don't know. I just feel like I want someone that's going to meet me where I'm at. But anyways, this is just really a reminder to me. So this is 1 Corinthians 3:16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple. Come on, guys. Come on, guys. Like, my body's a temple, and, like, my body is God's temple. If anyone destroys that temple, he will come after you. Like, if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred, and you are together in God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple. Me and God have built this life brick by brick. The derp is built brick by brick. This is a temple. Like, you're not just gonna come up in here and ruin my temple. So yeah, I really take that as, like, you know, my mindset, my body, like, who I am, like, my faith, like, everything that makes me, everything that makes Ms. Dana, everything that makes Dana stirp, like, that is my temple. And no one is going to, you know, rip it apart. And I just have to remind myself, like, I am wonderfully and beautifully made, like, in his image. So that's who I am. And not just anyone is going to be able to get in my mind, get in my head, like, get in my body, nothing. Like, I'm very, very selective. So yeah, that's something that really, really stands out to me. There's one more. Okay. Habakkuk 3:17. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. And honestly, that just shows me, like, when you have nothing, like, when you feel like everything is just crashing in front of you, taken away from you, however you want to see it, like, I will still rejoice in the Lord, and I will still be joyful in God, my Savior. And I definitely lean on that a lot right now, because, like I said, like, I failed my exams, and I feel like I'm not going to get a full-time teaching job, but I'm still going to choose to be faithful, and I'm still going to choose to trust that he'll find a way. And right now I am this fig tree. I am the fig tree that does not bud. I am the vine with no grapes, but I'm going to stand strong, and I'm going to believe. I think that, yeah, those are the ones that really stand out to me. So, yeah, baddies, I've been in the dumps. I've been on the ups. I've been on the down. I feel like I've been through it all these last couple months. Honestly, this whole year, 2025 has been a test. 2025 has been a test of what I could take. Like, I don't know. I feel like, you know those, like, mannequins at the mall where, like, one day they have clothes and the next day they're, like, naked and, like, no one, everyone makes fun of them? Like, I feel like that's me. Like, I feel like I'm, like, getting tomatoed. Like, I feel like I'm, like, hey, and it's, like, boo, tomato, tomato, tomato. Like, I feel like I'm a jester or whatever, those people that joke. Like, I feel like I'm getting slimed. Like, I'm getting gooped. Like, I don't know, I feel like I'm getting pranked. I feel like I'm really getting pranked. Like, there's just so much going on in my life right now. And I'm pushing through. And I'm sticking to it that God will bless me time and time again. He will come through and he's really going to show me his kindness and his gentleness. And he's going to show me that I can do it and give me the strength to stay up these long nights and study, because it's going to be hard. Like, imagine you work I work 9-hour shifts. Plus, I still got to wake up early to get to work because, like I said, I work in LA. So I feel like God's going to be that strength for that 9-hour shift, and then following with that 3-hour class to study, do my homework and do my other work and really just push through and slay. Because that is 12 hours straight, like nonstop of doing something. And then I have to spend another like 3 to 4 hours after that studying and really pushing myself. So God is going to have his way with me. Trust and believe. I'm going to be okay. And there is a full-time teaching position waiting for me at the end of this. And maybe a man with a ramo buchon. Maybe a man asking me to go on a date. Maybe. But yeah, I'm trusting God through it all. And maybe I'm silly for that. Maybe I'm a fool, but I'd rather be a fool for God. I'd rather be a fool for God than a fool for this world, honestly, truly. So, yeah, baddies, that's pretty much it. But besides that, oh my gosh, I have the 80s concerts in August. I'm so excited. And then Junie's coming out with an album soon. So low-key, I feel like he's going to do fan calls and maybe go on a tour. So ooh, maybe I'll do fan calls and go on his tour if he goes on tour. Eep. So, oh, and also I'm going to go see Rico Nasty. I'm so excited. And I got the meet and greet package because that's my girl and I love her. And I'm so excited to see her again. And then I'm also going to see Hot Flash Heat Wave, which is like one of my most favorite bands in the entire world that I've been dying to see again for years. Years. Like, I have been waiting 7 years to see them again. Like, that's how serious it is for me. So yeah, baddies, we're just gonna keep being blessed, and we're gonna be up soon guys, trust me. So yeah, baddies, hold on tight. I mean, I'm praying for you guys. If you guys ever need anything, text me. I am more than glad to pray for you. And pray for me, guys. Pray for me that I pass these exams. It's really important for me, and I'm gonna push myself, and you know, I'm gonna see what happens, and really, truly hope for the best and pray for the best. Because God's got me. God's got this. He doesn't play about me. He does not play about me. All right, baddies. With that, I love you guys. Have a good week. Have a good day. Have a good night. Good morning. Wherever you're at, wherever you're doing. And yeah, text me about what you think about this episode. Okay, bye.